This is the reason to remember the name. It is the press pass for Thursday. Well, we'll get it right in a minute. Thursday, March 1st. And a little bit different. I'm on the road, so we are improvising, to say the least. What would you say to that one, Kale?
This is interesting, man. I'm not looking at you today, so that's kind of a bonus, I guess.
Most people would call that a bonus, I promise you.
I'm just kidding, man. Where are you at anyway, buddy?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona, where I thought, you know what? I'll come from the Texas Panhandle. I know it's still going to be bone dry, but it'll be warm. Instead, yeah. I get here, a thunderstorm had come through. They've had more rain the last couple of days than they normally get. And I could see my breath when I flew in Wednesday morning waiting for my Uber ride to get here. Unbelievable.
Wow. Unbelievable. I never would have thought that in Phoenix. So,
it was crazy.
It's still bone dry here and windy, buddy. So, yeah, you didn't bring that with you. That's for sure.
Well, it is chilly here and actually supposed to get up to 69 today. But I'm telling you, yesterday went and did a little Top Golf and it was flat out cold. They had the heaters on in the bay. It was crazy. So,
wow.
It's nuts, but a busy next couple of days as we talk about basketball, and that's really what the show is going to be about today. First of all, I want to thank our fine sponsors. Get that out of the way. That's Belmar Bakery. They're in Amarillo, which kind of makes me hungry as we talk. All Red Security up in Perryton. Jam! It's good. That's Coach Udy up in Bushland. And then you've got the Spearman Booster Club, the Pampa Booster Club, and courtesy of Coach Vickers, the Claude Booster Club.
Yeah, we keep adding some supporters, which we just around the area. We love to have more as we can. You know, just anybody wants to just back us, we'll take it, man.
Oh, most definitely. Well, let's get to the matters at hand. First thing up is going to be girls high school basketball. It is the state tournament. They're in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. And first up this morning, the Hermley Lady Cardinals. That game at 10 o'clock this morning and 21 state championships for the Swiftettes, 27th time they've made it to the state title game. Unreal.
Unreal, and that 21 is a public school record. There's a tap school, I think, with 28, right? But 21, a public school record, so that's just amazing feat. In 27 appearances, my goodness, that's just incredible. So when it comes to women's basketball, girls' basketball, nothing better than the Nazareth Swiftettes and the Texas Panhandle.
Well, and I think something that really makes that even more, I guess you would say, daunting, that streak didn't start till 1976. So you're talking, from 76 to 17, that's crazy.
That is crazy, and let's hope all the best to them today as they take on Hermley, which cracks me up, Craig. That game could be easily played at the Spear Arena.
Well, it could. You know? And you'd have a lot more, well, I don't know, yeah, you'd probably have a lot more people, but...
I don't think they'd get 15,000 in there, but...
No.
Hey,
no.
I'll tell you where they would fill it, though, is the Rip Griffin Center in LCU.
Oh,
that place could be full, you know. So, anyway, best to Nazareth. And then tonight, Thursday night, big game, too, also.
Yeah, most definitely. It's the Amarillo High Lady Sandys taking on Temple. That's an 8:30 tip there from the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. And I tell you what, in my opinion, there's nothing that says Amarillo High doesn't win this game. And I think they've got a really tough Timberview team that they probably will play on Saturday. But I still think they can take a state title.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen Canyon go down there time and time again, and they're just as athletic and good as Canyon, you know, is. And, you know, man, what a great story this is for Jeff Williams, you know, his first time down to the state tournament. And I love it, man. Jeff's a great guy and a good friend, and we all want him to succeed. And they are athletic and talented. I think they do win tonight. I could see them getting past this round with that Timberview speed team. That's all you hear about. Which I think bodes well for Amarillo High because nobody would be looking at them. And you never count out Panhandle teams. We proved it. They proved it last year, 4-0.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. So they're fundamentally sound. They play great defense, and that's what you can expect when you see them down there. And that's what I expect from Amarillo High. The athletes, Zayla Tenner is as good as anybody on the floor. Analia Dawn is just as good as anybody on the floor. So they're going to give anybody they face down there everything they want.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you got to know that if you are playing in the state tournament and you look up and you're playing a team from the Texas Panhandle or even the South Plains, don't you know those girls' teams, they get a little bit nervous because no matter what the record shows, they know they're in for a dogfight and they're fixing to play a team that is fundamentally sound and going to get after them.
Oh, exactly. And, fundamentals is what you hear. That's the first word when you talk to any coach, when you describe a Panhandle player, or a team. It's just fundamentals. That's what every coach here works on and what they're known for. What a great reputation to have.
Now we just need the chant for fundamentals, and you'd be in great shape, Cale.
Oh, I'd be in great shape. I love that chant. It's my favorite chant. I created it back in 1997, and it still reigns true. I'm proud of that chant.
My buddy Cale.
Being very sarcastic right now, Craig.
Exactly. My buddy Cale Steed, if folks don't know, follow him on Twitter. He just loves basketball chants. They are his thing. So if you've got a sounder of one, put it out there and share it with Cale because he loves this.
Oh, I do, man. I tell you, I was at WT High in Memphis Boys on Tuesday night, and about three quarters in, I hadn't heard a You Can't Do That or a Fundamentals yet. And I was really proud, about to put a nice tweet out, and the WT High student section went and ruined it all for me in the third quarter. Just before I was about to put a proud tweet out, I hear a You Can't Do That, and I'm like, okay, well, that's ruined. I just want to hear something different every once in a while, you know, just think of something else.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Final game will be going on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It'll be the Claude Stang, Lady Stangs, taking on a very athletic LaRue LaPointer team. And this is definitely a game of differing styles. And,
oh, very much so.
You know, LaRue LaPointer really wants to get out. They want to run. They're athletic. Claude is big inside. Allison Giles, Jenna Cooper. But, you know, sometimes I think when you get to the state tournament, sometimes it's harder to run and get that athleticism going. And size oftentimes can dominate when you get to that state tournament.
Yeah, I'm doing the preview on this one. So I know this game a little more than I know the other two games. So talk to Gary Grant, the LaPointer head coach, whose actual brother is the cross-country coach at Clarendon. And he is the uncle of Bryce Grant, who you know, Craig.
The kid very good player.
Went to state cross country and was a great basketball player for that Clarendon team last year. Great guy. Enjoyed talking with him. But he has a point guard named Tiara Hambrick, who averages about 20 points a game and is lightning fast. All their girls are about 5'8", 5'9", but can fly. You know, so I think this matchup is one of those matchups where the UIL kind of had their sense of humor here. Hey, we're going to put a team that's small and fast here against a team that's tall and not so fast. So it's going to be like, what gives in this matchup, you know? So, but you're going to have star power out there with that girl. They have a couple other guards that can play against the Jenna Cooper and Allie Giles. And I also did a feature on a Claude girl named Katie Eichelman. And that feature came out today, and I posted it on Twitter. Unsung hero. She shouldn't do much on the stat sheet, but what she does is not turn the ball over, handles the ball well. It'll be up to players like her and an unsung role that kind of make a difference for, I think, Claude today. Yeah. You know, just the players that, you know, it's going to come down to games where you don't make a mistake late.
Yeah,
you know,
most definitely. And, you know, that fundamental, we talked about that. That's big when you get to the state tournament. I think that can really help the Lady Stangs. Like I say, that size inside, it definitely is a matchup of differing teams. Number 9, Claude, the Lady Stangs, taking on number 2, LaRue LaPointer. Should be a great game no matter what happens. But I don't know, something tells me the Lady Stangs, I think they're going to move on in this one.
Here's another cool story for you is, you know, obviously Jason Cooper, the head coach of the 6-year Claude, coaches his daughter Jenna. And as you remember, Jason Cooper won a state title at Sudan in 2009. Great coach. Jenna was a third grader that year, on the bench as a water girl. So grew up as a basketball player, smart as can be. So she's, you know, a coach's daughter through and through, has been on the bench since she was 5 years old. So now getting to live this with her has to be a great, you know, what a great thrill for a coach and a daughter here to coach your daughter in a state championship environment, you know.
That's got to be an unreal feeling.
Oh, it has to be. And she posted a great picture of her as a baby when he was holding her. And now today posted a picture of when they were senior and coach. So it is a cool feeling. I'm with you. I think Claude can pull this out today. Now staring him in the face would be Martins Mill. I think they're 37-1. Now, you'll love this, Craig. Here's another thing that baffles me about the UIL. Martins Mill and LaPointer are 30 minutes away. Okay? But they're in two separate regions.
Unreal.
Riddle me that. Played twice this year. Those are LaPointer's two losses.
Wow.
And let me ask you, does Martins Mill not get to the state title every year?
Oh, they do. They do. I mean, there are certain teams. You can look, especially on the girls' side, not so much on the boys' side, but on the girls' side, you can look up and you know, you can have, I'm trying to think here, so you got six divisions, four teams, so 24 teams. I guarantee you, you can name 8 to 12 of the teams that are going to be in the state tournament every year. You don't need to know what the results are, who made where. You can name them, and they're going to be in. Nazareth's going to be one of them. Martins Mill's going to be one of those. It's just, that's the way it works.
No, it does. It's amazing. That's just the tradition that these girls' teams and set around the area. Most of the time it's Canyon. So it was kind of interesting to see the new blood of Emerald High coming in. And with Canyon going down and Emerald High being young, I could see Canyon and Emerald High going for the next few years.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. So in 2A is always, and 1A is always well represented up here.
Most definitely. You know.
So, yeah. Women's basketball is going to be a flex in its power around here for the next decade.
that it will be, because you look at the teams around from all the way from 6A to 1A, the youth that's involved in those. I mean, most of the teams that made it quite a ways this year are predominantly led by underclassmen. So girls basketball in the Texas Panhandle is going to be super strong, especially over the next 2, 3, 4 years for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, let's get on the boys' side, Craig.
Yeah, so we take a look at the boys' side, and it's funny. You and I talked about this before we got started. This is literally a repeat of the girls. When we get to the regional tournament, there's nobody left in 6A. There's nobody left in 4A or 3A, but there are two teams coming from 5A, 2A, and actually a little curveball here because you got three coming from 1A, and it's just because of the way the brackets worked out and how things are parsed, but it's the same thing that you saw on the girls' side.
Oh, it's exactly. It pans out exactly the same because Canadian didn't quite get it done against Shallow Water, which they played a lot better than I thought they would. That just shows how good a coach Andy Copley is, you know, to lose a kid like Cameron Copley and still be that competitive with a 32-2 team, you know. So, yeah, great. Going to be. How about Randall and Emerald High, man? Two teams that are just keep winning.
Oh, I love it.
Nobody saw Randall this far.
Oh,
Cinderella,
no.
Man.
Oh no, and it's great because Randall they'll add us on their tweets, and you can tell they've almost got a chip on their shoulder of saying, you know what, people didn't believe in us. Guess what? Guess where we're at, and we're not stopping.
Oh no, and they've done it in a pretty convincing fashion too. And I mean, nobody gave them a chance in the area game. They were playing the number six team in the state, and they dominated. I mean, they tried, you know, or late in the fourth quarter they let East Lake back in, but. I could be wrong there. I don't have my sheets in front of me because you're not here, Craig, so I have to do this over the phone. So, but they're dominating for three quarters, let them back in, but still close the door. Emerald High just keeps winning in thrilling fashion. I mean, my gosh, can you have a crazier road than the Sandys have had so far?
It's unbelievable. Don't you know the El Paso teams are like, I don't want to hear Emerald High's game name again.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is nuts. And now you get down in the regional tournament and now you get these Metroplex schools, and you're kind of like, ooh, you know. So you never know what to expect. But talking with Zach, Lance Lawner talked with Zach Duncan from the Times Record News in Wichita Falls, and he said they beat Fort Worth Wyatt, who Emerald High will play at 4 o'clock Friday. He says Fort Worth Wyatt's every bit as athletic as the team he's seen. So Emerald High is going to have their hands full again. So I think the strategy there is to play that Jason Pillian basketball where you slow it down half court. Defense, you know, keep the game in the 40s, 30s, what they've been doing. If you see their scores, they're winning, what, 42, 41,
yeah,
39,
yeah. Yeah, beat El Paso Andrews 44-43, and I'm with you. That's how they're going to have to win it. I don't think any team in the Texas Panhandle can, or at least I've not seen it in the last several years, it's tough for any of those teams to get out and, especially at the higher levels, go down and face those Metroplex teams and try and run and gun with them. That's not going to work. We don't have a full stable of athletes. What we got to do is beat them on the defensive side of the ball, and it goes back to that key word, fundamentals.
Yeah, it does. And not since those PD days of Austin Johnson and Justin Mason or Cobbins have we seen a team being able to really get transition in a shootout type game. But Randall, Craig, you have it in front of you. Who's Randall got?
Yeah, so Randall's got a really tough matchup. They take on number 2, Justin Northwest.
Justin Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest is 31-5. That game will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. As you said, Emerald High and Fort Worth Wyatt, they play at 4 o'clock. Both of those games at the Scurry County Coliseum, they're in Snyder. And it'll be tough, but I'm not going to count either one of those teams out, not after what we've seen to get them to this point.
Oh, Randall's playing too good right now to count them out. Justin might not be looking at them as an, you know, you might overlook them a little bit, but what a job by Leslie Broadhurst. The guy's been around a long time. He's one of the best coaches in the area. Doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion. He knows basketball. His team is just a hard-nosed team that they're fighting. They don't have anything to lose, Craig, and that's the scariest thing when you play a team that has nothing to lose.
Oh, I agree with you.
If they lose, okay, what a great season. If we win, we're amazing. You know, so there's really nothing out there. Justin has everything to lose. So right now, roll the dice, man, at this point. I mean, why not?
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, you know, and you're talking about a team that's got some size with nothing to lose, and then Jayshon Barrow.
Oh, they're the big team in the area.
Yeah, really doing his thing. So that's a look at the Class 5A. True. If we move on down to Class 2A, a thrilling ball game. I know Lance covered this one. Stratford defeats Sanford Fritsch 58-55 in overtime. What a game!
Yeah, and the way Lance tells me is Fritsch is gonna hold on to this one for a while. They had two big leads, had the game late, seemed like, and it just couldn't put Stratford away. And I think that goes back to success breeds success, where you know those Stratford kids just know how to win, man.
Oh, they do. They do. So that's going to put Stratford in the regional 1-2A tournament. That's at the Texan Dome. They're in Levelland. Like I say, 1A and 2A, they share the Texan Dome. I love that setup. That's going to be tomorrow night at 6:30. They will take on Forsan, who's 29-4. And I love this because when you look at the other three records of the teams, you know who went far in football. Forsan's 29-4. WT High's 32-2. And McCamey's 19-11. Stratford, 15-3.
Played 18 games. They're probably just hitting their stride right now with basketball.
Well, you know, we laugh about that, but that is the truth. You look at some of these teams that go deep in football. I think sometimes that's why they go deep in basketball, because they do hit their stride come about the latter part of district and on into the playoffs, and that can make a huge difference.
Oh, it can. It can. And this team, Forsan, I talked to their coach, Corey Richardson, yesterday. Great guy. His son, Kobe Richardson, is a guard. They're guard heavy. They're going to have to play. He said he could go for a different cover during lineups just because of what Stratford does with Noah Harris. But, you know, this Richardson kid can flat out shoot, average like 20 points a game. So, Kay McBride, Shea has some great guards, Noah Harris inside. Going to be an interesting matchup. I don't, you know, it's hard when you don't get to see these teams. But again, I like Stratford in this game. That district was so good.
Oh, That district was unreal. If you look at it, regional quarterfinals, three of the four teams that got in were in those regional quarterfinals. One of them had to go out because Stratford and Sanford Fritsch had to play each other. So a really tough district. And speaking of a tough district, a game that I really wanted to see, and I know you got to see, and I don't want to say it was disappointing, but I was surprised. West Texas High runs away with it from the Memphis Cyclones 60-39.
It was surprising, and it was surprising how quick WT High jumped out in front of this game. Memphis got into a zone, 2-3 zone, Craig, and it hurt them early because they just got lit up from the WT High didn't miss when it came down to first quarter. Just hit everything they threw up, and Memphis couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat to start the first quarter. And then by the time of the second quarter, though, Kevin Alexander made a great adjustment. And went to a man press, and that really baffled WT High a little bit, shook them up. I think they got 7 of 8 turnovers, and able to come back and tie it. Second half, though, that links Jeffrey Jefferson, the point guard for WT High, completely did his job against Clifford Bird. And Bird never found his shot in the game, was in foul trouble. It was a really rough ending to a fantastic season for one of the best players we have. He had 9 points and fouled out, and I hated to see that because I've been looking forward to seeing Bird all year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jalen Connors is as good as advertised. Jalen Williams is good. They're huge. And that just, you don't see their size at the 2A level.
No, you don't. And I told you, I was really impressed with Jefferson and Villanueva.
Villanueva is another kid that's just he's a role player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, both of those kids are really just cat quick. I mean, they can get after it. And when you've got the size of Williams and Conyers and you add those really quick guards who can shoot it when they need to, that makes West Texas High really dangerous. And the McCamey Badgers are about to find that out. McCamey upsets Albany, who was higher ranked and most people thought would win. McCamey wins that one. So West Texas High and McCamey will play at 8 o'clock Friday night. I think Cinderella for McCamey is going to come to an end, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't see anybody in this region defeating West Texas High. Stratford will have as good an opportunity as anybody, but I think West Texas High takes this region.
Have you heard about how McCamey beat Albany, by the way?
I did. So let me explain this to our listeners. So Albany's got the ball. Kid tries to dribble in from the around the circle, tries to dribble in about the free throw line, loses the handle on the ball. McCamey picks it up. Kid takes two or three dribbles, reaches the half court line, fires it up at the buzzer, and drains it to defeat Albany. Unreal.
This is what's great. So I talked to their head coach, Eddie Walker, yesterday, and it's his son, Trajan Johnson, that makes the three from half court. The kid is 99 of 164 from three-point land this year. That's 61%.
Goes back to my comment, that's tough to do against air.
Yes, and that half-court shot, I mean, he probably just knew it was going to go in, even if he's throwing it, you know. Just what an amazing shot. Eddie Walker told me when he got to McCamey, they picked him dead last. They were dead last in the district, so he put it all over the wall. And he said they've lived on that all year, and they are, man. They are ultimate Cinderella. And yeah, maybe the slipper's not, you know, maybe it's time for the pumpkin to, you know, the slipper to turn into a pumpkin. Whatever Cinderella's story is, I can't remember.
One of those kids' stories. Cale Steed's going to get it right in a minute.
Yeah, I can't remember. I haven't watched Cinderella in a while. My wife hadn't maybe watched that movie in a while. So, but you know what I'm talking about. It's just, I think the story ends because the size plays such a factor. And I saw what it did to Clifford Byrd in Memphis. And as good a team as they were, they just didn't have an answer for it. And Jalen Williams in the middle is Jalen Conyers. When you're 6'4", 6'5", and you move like a guard and you play like a post, it's just such a tough matchup.
That to me is what makes West Texas High really, really dangerous. Williams inside, he's going to do his thing. But Jalen Conyers can truly do the inside-outside game. You don't see that a lot from players, especially in the Texas Panhandle. But his size and his athleticism makes him super dangerous. I think he's the best player there in Region 1-2A and Region 1. And so I just think that's going to propel West Texas High. And then we'll move on to our final region, Region 1-1A. And I tell you what, these are some really good matchups.
This is the funnest region for us, Craig, in my opinion. This is as wide open as it gets.
Yeah, I agree with you. So let's take a look at the first matchup. So in the regional quarterfinals, Nazareth defeats a really stubborn McLean team, 49-40. I was at that game. Jake Gerber throws down two dunks. But let me tell you something, McLean didn't back down. They played a physical game with the Swifts, just didn't have quite enough in the end. So Naz wins that one 49-40. New Home hangs on. They defeat Whitharrow 48-44. So the first game of the tournament will be Nazareth, who's number two in the state, taking on a top 10 team in New Home. Nazareth 30-5, New Home 29-4. That's a 1 o'clock tip-off. That should be an excellent game. New Home's got some size. I think if anything's going to bother Nazareth just a little bit, it's going to be some size and physicality. That's what McLean tried to do with them, is be physical. And then you move on to the second game there. So when you look at that, Happy just destroyed Booker, 71-40. Congratulations to Coach Reagan. They had a great run.
Oh, yeah, great
run for the Kiowas. They just ran up to a team that had more athletes on the court for them. So Happy wins that one. And then Valley just destroys the Paducah Dragons, 64-34. I'll tell you what, this Happy Valley game that's going to go on at 2:30, that's going to be a ball game.
Yeah, it's not a football game either. And that's what everybody's, you know, used to see. When you hear Happy Valley, what's the first thing you think of, Craig?
Oh, it's football, and this is going to be basketball, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, when you first go back to Nazareth and New Home, this is a rematch of last year's semifinal, where Nazareth beat them and went on to lose that your Happy Cowboys in the regional final. New Home, Coach Kobe Abney's got his son, you talk about height, 6'2", Corey Abney, who can play 20 points a game, and going up against Jake Gerber, that's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm kind of on the fence on this one, man. Both teams are really good. I think Nazareth is a slight favorite here. I think they're the slight favorite in the region. Everybody kind of picking them. Other side, though, Happy, oh, man, Jackson Davis, Dalton Gray, Corey McCarthy, they're all healthy. I was talking to Travis Dawson, your boy there, who he got a chuckle, by the way, out of your comment about how flat the gym was at South Plains last week after Nazareth left. He wants to talk to you about that. I told him to go ask you about it. But anyway, he was telling me, you know, they're finally healthy. They played together for a month, so you know what, they've been the state, they're the back-to-back region champs. So I don't think you'll see them bow out early. And then you got a team like Valley, hadn't been there in 21 years, but has a guy like Jake Merrill and Dax Allen. So you got athlete for athlete in this game. I don't know who to take. It's just such an exciting weekend going to be there at Lexington.
It's an unbelievably exciting weekend. I think Nazareth does take down New Home. I think Jay Gerber will be the difference in that ball game, but I do think it'll be a close game. The Happy Valley game, man, I call the Happy Cowboys. I'm telling you, this is about as much as a toss-up as you're going to get. The only thing I wonder is, does experience help Happy in the end? That could play a difference, but you want to talk about a matchup. Dax Allen versus Colton McCarley at the point guard position, that's going to be fun to watch. And then Jake Merrill playing in the land of giants with the Cowboys. Merrill goes 6'3", Cowboys go 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", inside. Man, just a great, great matchup. And that's the 2:30 tip-off Friday there at the Texan Dome in Loveland.
Both teams know, are veteran teams. Both teams went deep in football. Both teams have had those veterans that know how to win at this time. Jayden Smith for Valley. Like I said, Colton McCarley. But then there are other players on those floors that know how to win games. Both have great coaches. So this is going to be just a well-coached, well-played game with a lot of veterans on the floor that have been there, done that. So it's probably my favorite game out of all of our games we have in this first round, semifinal round.
Yeah, and cheap pop here, but you can hear that Happy Valley game on the Happy Sports Network, happyisd.net. You like that?
I do like that because cheap pop is a wrestling term, so you're learning a little bit, and I appreciate that, Craig.
I'm good at stealing lines.
Yeah, you are good at stealing. No, you can hear that on the Happy Sports Network, and you can hear old Tommy King calling the Nazareth game, all
right? Yeah, that's right. The official voice of the Nazareth Swifts and Swiftettes. And Tommy will have that one on knnk.com. Just tune that in, and you can hear the Nazareth New Home game. So we'll move on to college basketball now that we got high school out of the way, and look at the Lone Star Conference in a big, huge weekend for both the Buffs and the Lady Buffs. Things tip off today at 2:30. The Lady Buffs, with the number 2 seed in the tournament, will take on Midwestern State. The Buffs 24-4, and man, they're playing really good basketball right now.
They are playing good basketball, and we talked all year about how Lexi Hightower and Madison Parker are their players, but Sydney Walton, the Dalia Harrises, the Tiana Parkers, everybody's stepping up right now. I think Sydney Walton, the senior for Perryton, is averaging 12 points a game in her last four games, and that's with she's been banged up in her entire career, so she's been playing well. Tiana Parker's been great inside, Taisha Taylor. They have the pieces to make a run, and it starts today. Chris Mateo, Coach Mateo, is big on the tournament. She loves this time of year, and I think that reflects in her team. I mean, I'm interested. I hope to get down there Saturday. That's our plan. So they need to win today. I'm excited to see what the Lady Buffs can do. The postseason is a time they always thrive, Craig. You know that. This is their 30th LSC tournament appearance. They have 13 titles in the LSC tournament, so always fun to see them go down there, and we always hope success for them.
Most definitely. And you talk about dominance, especially in girls basketball at the high school level. That's what the Lady Buffs do, and they've done it for a very, very long time, and they've got a really good shot to pull off this conference title. And then you look at the Buffs, they're going to go in as the number one ranked team in the Lone Star Conference on the guys' side. They'll play tomorrow night versus Eastern New Mexico. If form holds, WT, UTPB in the finals ought to be a classic.
Yeah, and it could come down to who hosts the region, because right now WT's one, UTPB's two in the region. Now, I don't know how tight a two that is, because the UTPB lost back-to-back games in the regular season finales, but WT won their last two. So I think WT gets to the finals, they're pretty much a lock for that regional. I want to say, but you never know with the committee. Who knows?
Yeah, most definitely.
For the Lady Buffs, LCU is hosting right now if it was to end the day. But if the Lady Buffs could win the regional or win the LSC and somehow LCU can lose in the Heartland Tournament, you never know. But Ray, you're right. That classic could be round three. They've each won one, WT and UTPB, each won on each other's home court and won handily. So this would be round three if they get there.
Yeah, well, and you speak of round three. If that does happen, you just wonder how big the chip on David Chavlovic's shoulder is going to be. He gets first team all-conference, but somehow, some way, is not the Lone Star Conference Player of the Year. That goes to Francis from UTPB. Boy, don't you know he's going to remember that if that ball game happens.
Yeah, he is, because he's 68 points away from the LSC all-time scoring record. He's a four-year starter. He broke the WT scoring record as a junior. The guy has carried this program since Tom Brown took it over, and he has been, if you ask Lance Lawner, who covers this team, the best D2 player to probably ever walk through this WT program. And I say Division II because, as you know, Craig, they were Division I for how many years at WT. So I'm with you. I think David Chavlovic deserves the honor. He didn't get it, so he'll wait. Wait till you see Shav this weekend. I think he'll play with something to prove.
Yeah, that will definitely be a player who'll be the term man on a mission. That'll be Chav. And, you know, that's a close team, that Buff team is. They all, I'll guarantee you, take that personally. And, that may be just the thing WT needs to go ahead and just pull off this Lone Star Conference tourney, guarantee that they're hosting it. And if they do, we have got to fill the FUB.
Oh, I'd love to see the FUB filled. It's so loud in there when there's 4,000 people in it. It's a great environment. And when you were speaking of accolades on the women's side, how about the accolades, the coaching accolades, first off, Craig?
Oh, I know. It's unreal. Unreal. It's, Coach Mateo, she wins the Lone Star Women's Coach of the Year. Tom Brown wins the Men's Coach of the Year. And both of them well-deserving of that honor.
Oh, very well. Mateo, I think, is closing in on 80 wins already in just 4 years. I know Tom's getting close to that mark, too. Both are great coaches. Both have, Tom took over for Coach Cooper, who did a great job. But he also took over when they weren't, they were at the rock bottom. And he's turned it into look what he's turned it into, an LSC regular season champion since 94.
Yeah, with a team that's got several freshmen who are big contributors. So this boat's not going to end this year.
No, he set this up to, even when Shav leaves, he set this up to be good for the next few years. And Mateo had to daunt, she was left in a lot better shape, but she still had the tough task of replacing a guy like Mark Kellogg, who a lot of people were like, well, this guy could coach, and Krista Gerlich. I mean, she had the pressure of continuing a legacy, which is never easy. It's never easy to replace the coach that took a team to a national championship. You know what I mean? That's not easy to do, and it's not easy to sustain. And she's done that well.
She most definitely has. So that's going to wrap it up for us, Cale. I appreciate you joining me long distance, Amarillo to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the joys.
One last thing. Lexi Hightower, also first team, along with Ryland, Ryan Quaid, who was also a defensive honors, so don't forget those two.
Oh, you're right. Most definitely very well deserving. I was a little surprised Madison Parker was only second team,
yeah.
Hey, this is the same group that didn't think David Chavlovic should be player of the year, so, what can you expect?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Press Pass. This is the Thursday, March 1st edition. Good luck to all our local teams, both the high school and college. Hopefully we will have a ton to talk about on our Monday Press Pass. But for my man Cale Steed at the Amarillo Globe News, I'm Craig Spear. We appreciate everybody listening to the Press Pass, and we will see you on Monday.